This is episode 53 of the Forest Podcast for Tuesday, January 4th, 2011. And welcome to the Forest Podcast. I am Mike Evans.
And I'm Kenneth Love.
And these are your daily tech design and development jelly beans. What's up, jelly bean?
Well, you know, the wonderful website that Kyle built, Facto?
Yeah, Facto Me.
Yeah, there's a lot of really funny stuff on there. And then
there's the creepy.
So I used to think Zeldin was like this awesome dude, and I wanted to meet him and hang out with him and be like, dude, I'm a big fan, I got a blue beanie, blah, blah, blah.
Now you only want to meet him if there's someone else in the room.
Now he fucking scares me.
Read it.
My girl cousin, who was taller than me, showed me her vagina and said it used to be a penis. She said mine would get chopped off when I got to be as big as her.
I saw that when he posted it, and it was just like, okay, no. Like,
well, yeah, he links to that one on Twitter, even. Like, that was his Twitter, his tweet about Facto was that fucking fact, and then just...
Like, we already mentioned him being a bear of a man, and we were talking about on a previous episode, like, picturing this giant bear furry dude hanging out with his niece or something, or his daughter.
Yeah, his daughter.
Like, just how weird that must look, but now after reading this, it's just like, this is creepy, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just...
maybe we should
get to the links and not have to worry about Zeldman's Bear-gina.
Bear-gina. I wish that could be the name of the episode.
Bear-gina? Why can't it be?
Zeldman's Bear-gina, even better.
Zeldman's Bear-gina. You know what? Do it, man.
It seems a little raunchy for the show. I don't know. The titles have to be...
Maybe.
Italian house. Maybe. Sorry, what's the first thing?
First one is index ping. This looks like this could be really handy. I haven't tried it out yet, because I kind of don't care. But I think this could be really handy for some people, especially people that launch a lot of websites.
Well, not even people who launch a lot of websites. This is good for people who do a lot of websites for other people who actually care about this.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you're a designer that ends up producing a lot of websites, or a developer that ends up producing a lot of websites, for other people that are really worried about being indexed by Google.
Am I researched yet? Am I indexed yet?
Right, right. Then this is a cool thing to have. So it's indexping.com. You can go sign up, and for free, you get to monitor two websites, and I suppose if you pay, you get to have more than two websites, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so what it does is it monitors your domain name, and then they send you an email as soon as that domain name appears in Google's search index. So... it's a really simple service. All it does is tell you.
Google already have something like that?
No, I don't believe so. They might have something to where like you can, request that or something. But like by default, it doesn't have that.
They're currently in beta testing phase, and final pricing has not yet been decided. But I assume there will be a price.
Right, and I would imagine it's probably tiered as well. Free gets you two sites, you pay a certain amount for like 10 sites, and then another amount for like unlimited sites.
They need your fourthborn is what it's going to cost.
Right, fourthborn.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta be like really dedicated to it.
Well,
what if you're in China and you can only have two? Or one?
Well, you know, never mind, I'm not going into this. Okay.
I guess it doesn't matter because China doesn't have Google anyway.
That too, there you go. That's right? More appropriate.
All right, let's go to this next one. CSSuseragent.org.
Word.
So, I'm
not for it. I'm all for capabilities, not for agent.
Yeah, like
modernizer,
I think
baby.
This is kind of neat. I can see this being really handy if you're only worried about detecting like desktop or mobile.
I can see this being really handy if it was 10 years ago.
That too. Let's go back in time, make this work. So what this is a little bit of JavaScript, and what it does is it attaches a user agent class to your HTML tag. So like UA-Safari, mm-hmm. or UA-Safari 5.0.3 or whatever, right? And so what that would let you do is that would let you target specific browsers with specific CSS or JavaScript behaviors or whatever, I suppose.
Right.
It does detect mobile, which is probably the one handy aspect of it. But you know, as Mike said, it seems to make a lot more sense to detect capabilities like Modernizer would do than to detect user agents.
But if you need to use it, it's there.
Yeah, if you need it. If you're like, dude, I can't live without some sort of browser agent detecting, then, you know, go
this
for
the,
it.
This is the hot sheezy for you.
This is the thing, man.
This next one, I think, would be interesting to you because you were talking about doing some running program last year.
Yeah, last year I did C to 5K, which is couch to 5K, and the basic idea is that you go from being a couch potato to being able to run a 5K in, like, nine weeks.
So did you run a 5K?
I did not run a 5K.
But you ran 5K.
Yeah, around there. I'm not sure exactly how far I was running. It's based on time and not distance.
Okay.
For how you do it. So I was running for 30 minutes, which is supposed to get you 5K, but I think on me it was a little bit closer to like 3.5K. maybe 4, I don't know. Anyway, but no, this is cool. This is from Adam Nuttall. Nuttall? I'm not even going to make jokes about his name being Nuttall, okay? I'm leaving that to you guys.
None.
Yeah, I'm above that, you know.
Okay.
I would never make a joke about a dude's name being Nuttall. No, so this is an interesting little post. It's called "Join the Resistance: A Hacker's Guide to Health and Fitness." Mm-hmm. So basically, the idea is that, you know, those of us who are programmers, hackers, designers, whatever, however you want to think about it, those of us who spend a lot of time looking at a computer, we end up sitting on our ass a lot and not really doing
a whole lot.
Right. You know, you skip dinner and grab a Coke or something. You spend way too much time drinking beer and eating chips. You know, whatever. Those would be crisps for those of you on the wrong side of the ocean. So basically what this is just a little idea, a little guide to, like, getting some exercise, burning some calories, not being as fat of a slob as you probably already are. And so basically it's just four things. Push-ups, planks, squats, and running. And running is actually a really damn good exercise because you're just using your body. Right?
I like it's the simple pleasure of running flat out as fast as you can.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know. I haven't read through all this, but running is not the best way if you're trying to lose weight. Weightlifting is. But.
Well, if you're trying to lose weight, there are better things than running. But if you're trying to just kind of build muscle tone and lose some weight, running is a really good way of doing it, as is, like, swimming.
Word.
Simply because, like with running, like I said, you're dragging your body weight around. You probably weigh a pretty decent amount because, you know, humans aren't lightweight.
I weigh 230, but I'm also 6'4".
Right. We're not like jellyfish or something. And so then you end up building muscle, like I said, especially like core, back, and legs.
Yeah,
arms,
stability.
That's why you always see runners with those little skinny arms. You know, you sweat, you get out in the sun, it's good for you, stuff like that. So basically what he's going to do is he's going to do a little series of stuff. He's going to do three high-quality, time-saving bodyweight workouts each week. So yeah, looks like it's going to be a cool
idea.
If
you don't want to do all this, do what I do is what I suggest is, one, buy a bike, two, find a pickup game.
Ride the bike?
Ride the bike too, but find a pickup game of a sport you like. It's easy as hell to find anything.
Yeah.
I play soccer and rugby like four times a week during the spring and summer.
Yeah, I guarantee you, unless you live in the middle of nowhere, you've got a basketball court or a soccer field somewhere near you. Right? And anybody can play basketball or
soccer. I'm actually considering riding my bike to South by Southwest if the forest party and whatnots do happen.
So you're going to ride your bike from Detroit to Austin? Okay, I have a friend whose ex-wife used to do long distance biking.
I did.
Like they would do, like, you know, hundreds of miles in a week.
I did one this summer around Michigan that ended up being about 250 miles or something like that, and loved it with a few friends. So I've been been training at the gym all winter and seriously considering doing the thing to Texas. Maybe raise some money for like muscular dystrophy or something. I don't know.
Well, if you do that, you'll have to carry your computer with you so that we can record podcasts.
I thought it'd be so cool if you took a camera or something and told everybody who's looking to go to South by Southwest what my route was. And, like, you know, you'd start from Michigan and nobody would join you because nobody's that fucking stupid. But the closer you get to Texas, the more people.
Somewhere in Kansas, you're going to pick up somebody.
Yeah, and then you get a little bit closer, you pick up a few more. And by the end, you ride into Austin with, like, you know, 30 people or something. I thought it'd be cool.
That would be cool. We should organize that.
I'm committed.
That could be like a little weekend project for the
weekend project. Sort of...
Some sort of single page website.
Yeah, I dig it.
A single server site.
All right, what's next?
Okay, so this next one is from Readwright Web. This is from another channel of theirs, Readwright Cloud.
That's a lot easier to say.
I think it's really stupid how they have all these channels. It's just fucking Readwright Web, okay? It's hard to do. Yeah, they really don't. So what this is from Clint Finley, but he was talking to Kevin Wheel, or InfoQ, sorry, was talking to Kevin Wheel from Twitter when he was speaking at Strange Loop. And so he talks about how the company uses NoSQL.
Did you see
and
how
so,
much data they do in a year? That's ridiculous.
They do an amazing amount of data. They do an amazing amount of data in a day.
12 terabytes.
Yeah, much less a
Four
year.
Petabytes.
But just a day is amazing. So they use Scribe, which is a log collection framework. They use Hadoop. They use Pig. They use HBase. They use FlockDB. They use all
Cassandra,
sorts of stuff,
they're trying
really
to use, but they don't know what for yet.
Right. But, I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, they're talking about, like, FlockDB. They use that to kind of help them determine who to show at replies to. So, like, if Ashton Kutcher, using the example they quote here in the cool. article, sends a tweet to Foursquare, it shouldn't show up on all of Kutcher's 6,156,915 followers.
I don't like how that shit happens.
It should only show up for those that follow both.
You know, personally, it always confuses the hell out of me.
I get
so many messages from Kenneth, like, you know nobody else is going to see that, right?
Yes. But yeah, so it's pretty cool. They use a lot of different little pieces of technology to do little bitty pieces of work so that they can get a lot of stuff done, which is part of why Twitter has been scaling better now than they used to. They've diversified a lot, which is very important. You know, it's the same for like Facebook,
right? If
only
they'd moved to Django, their problems would be solved.
No, probably not. Even Django, it doesn't matter what you have. When you're at the scale that Twitter is, if you're only using one technology, you're going to have problems. But like Facebook, you know, they're built on PHP, but they end up using a ton of other technologies in the back. I mean, I know they use Python. I know
they
use Ruby.
Aren't they doing something
now
that just takes all the PHP and just rewrites it as C++ or something? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they've got HipHop, which rewrites all their PHP into C. I don't know if it's C or C++. I think it's just C. Which makes it run a hell of a lot faster than PHP does. So, yeah, it's almost impossible to stick with one core language when you're anything above, you know, a simple web app. You're going to have to diversify into other stuff. I mean, even, like, sites that I built, it's rarely just Python. There's usually Java in the back end for doing search. There's, you know, sometimes we toss something off to Ruby or whatever else for processing something else. I mean, it's... you can't stick with one.
Hip hop transforms your PHP code in a highly optimized C++. Yeah. And it uses
C++.
G++ to compile it. I don't know what the fuck G++ is.
It's a compiler.
G word up. Hip-hop.
But like there's like GCC and stuff like that. So G++ is a similar compiler. All right. Let's go into the next one. Matt Mazur. Mazur?
I think Mazur.
All right, Mazur, who is from Boston.
This one's driving me crazy. Okay.
This one's driving you crazy? So anyway, he's built a couple of things. He built Precedin, which is a tool for making timelines, and JMockups, which is a tool for designing websites. So he launched Precedin in January, which is a free web-based timeline tool. So he experimented with it, and then he turned it into a freemium model to where you got 5 events for free, or you could pay $30 one time to upgrade to the pro plan and make as many events as you wanted for the entire life of the project. So then in June, he started working on J mockups, didn't really pay much attention to Precedin because he's working on J mockups. And at the beginning of December, he noticed that he's starting to make some decent amount of money.
Hey,
on
I just
Precedin.
Bought a new Lexus.
People are paying. people are paying the $30 to upgrade, which is great. So he thought, well, what if I just got rid of the free plan? What if everyone had to pay to use it? So he did that. So he can't attribute all of what comes after this to removing the free account. He changed a couple of different things. He dropped the $30 down to $29. So you save a dollar, and that it's weird how that number ending in a 9 kind of makes you want to buy something.
21
more.
Days.
Have you noticed that? It's strange. He changed the background color of the header. He made some layout and copy changes. He got rid of CAPTCHA on the signup page. Made, you know, a few different things, right?
Yeah.
So then he's looking at his numbers, and it's kind of sad. With the free plan, he was getting a little over half. He was getting 0.67% of new homepage visitors to paid users. I'm guessing he means 67%.
No, 67% sounds really high. I would assume that he did mean.
No, no, no. Okay, so anyway, 0.67%, and then when he removed the free plan, only 0.15% turned into paid users. He was getting 2.46% of sign-up page visitors to turn into page users, and now he's only getting 0.95%.
Okay, so here's the part of this that drives me crazy. One, that's after, like you said, not just the pricing change.
He made a few different
changes.
But also,
man, I fucking hate freemium. I fully agree with Ryan Carson when they were talking about why they got rid of their free plan for, I think, Vitamin membership and stuff like that. Like, they give out some, you know, random free stuff, but as far as actually having a full plan, like, I don't like it. I'm like, you know, I'm doing a good product.
I think it all depends on what you're doing. Like, I use FreshBooks, right? FreshBooks is a freemium model. There is a free plan that gives you three clients and one staff member and then, like, a certain number of other things, a certain number of invoices and things like that. And it's great if you're just starting out. If this is, like, your first time doing online invoicing, you only have one or two clients, this is absolutely perfect. And then the next step up, you pay $20 a month to have, like, a whole lot more stuff.
But I think there's just a lot of places that do freemiums to the point where it's not required that you buy it anymore. Like, I'm the asshole
we've
talked
about.
Well, yeah,
some of them are
like
that. Like,
there's this great, great product called Cover Sutra for doing controlling your iTunes from your keyboard and stuff. And when it runs out of its free trial, it just says you can continue using it as long as you want, but it only works 4 hours at a time. And it's like, well, 4 hours at a time, that means for a day of working, I have to restart it, you know, two or three times. That's not enough for me to pay for it.
Right. That's not actually annoying. Or like Google Apps, right? You can use Google Apps for free for a whole ton of stuff. But then there's a paid account if you need, like, just this little bit more. I don't think I've ever seen somebody that
I'm willing to bet Forrest.
Like, even
stuff
large
is not
organizations. Yeah, even large organizations that I've worked with don't have the paid accounts. So
everybody's using that, you know, we're a school or whatever.
Right. But going back to, like, FreshBooks, by the time you do need to upgrade, you're probably going to. Like, I know I did.
By the time
like,
you need to upgrade
ago,
it,
actually,
you're making a lot of fucking money.
Right, you're doing well, you're making enough money, you have enough clients that it justifies upgrading, and their freemium, their free version, isn't enough to handle it, and nobody wants to go through the hassle of having either multiple FreshBooks accounts, or like a FreshBooks account, a Freckle account, a Harvest account, you know, like all these different services that do the same thing, because then you got to go, oh wait, where's client A invoiced from? Are they invoiced from Freckle or from FreshBooks? And then you got to remember it. Nobody's
I might be absolutely
that,
wrong, right? So don't quote me on this, or you can quote my wrongness, but I remember something about 37 Signals saying that they didn't remove a free account, but they like upped the price on their lowest entry account for Backpack or something like that, and actually increased the amount of people who bought it or something, I don't remember. Or that they hit that you know, that point where they raised the price, they lost people, but they were still making the same amount of money.
Right. There's so many little variables in there. It also really depends on your audience. If you're dealing with the tech crowd and people that are going to want to try out stuff, you have to have a free version if you're going to get signups. You pretty much have to.
Love Games because, is not going to have any freemium.
There are very few things that I would pay for outright. But anyway, he also mentions that he didn't include a demo and he was expecting people to pay without being able to use the product, which I guarantee
give him a pretty picture and a video.
So anyway, he's switching back to the freemium version, but it's kind of cool seeing how, you know, all these different little things that happened to him, how it changed how this product that was basically supporting him. He was doing like 4K a month off of it.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I know, and it's not bad at all. How much that changed by him eliminating the free one. So it's kind of neat, kind of cool. Conference roundup.
I hate to say so much.
Did you find all these little things you want to go to,
there's
and none of them are
nothing
in Michigan?
In Michigan.
But look, there's nothing in Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska. Ooh,
okay.
I mean,
there's nothing. There's nothing in Illinois, but Nebraska, Missouri. Who gives a fuck? I mean, I love those places.
Then look over at California. How many things are centered around right where I am?
There were a bunch of people on Twitter trying to hassle Zeldman yesterday.
Yeah, to do Detroit from
Forrest and a few other people.
Yeah, for an event apart. Yeah, no, I saw that. I thought that was kind of funny.
If you're looking for
some... Yeah, no, so what this is... Yeah, if you're like, dude, I need some shit to go to because I got too much money in my pocket and I like staying in hotels.
Oh, I didn't realize this is from Car Personified, maybe? Look at the bottom of the page. It says, check out online conferences by Car Personified.
It's built by Simply Dano. Inspired by Louis Lazarus and Smashing Magazine.
Maybe they just got an advertisement from Carsonified.
Yeah, maybe it's just coordinated or something. Anyway, though, it's conferenceroundup.com, and so right now it's just been started not too long ago, so there's going to be a lot more stuff on there later. It does have a nice interface. And so right now you can look around the – it's at least the U.S. I don't know if it's the whole – is it worldwide? Okay. I know it's at least the U.S., it's probably worldwide.
South Africa, we'll say it's worldwide. New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, something in China. Something in United Arab Emirates. Really? There's something going on in the United Arab Emirates? Usability Week Conference in Dubai. Huh. All right. What the fuck is this?
You put it in there? What are you talking about? What?
No. TEI, venue, CS, Madeira, Atlantic Resort, and Sea Spa.
Sea Spa? I want to go to a Sea Spa.
I gotta take a screenshot of this for you. Anyway, though, yeah, it's around the world. All sorts of little web conferences that you can attend. Probably stuff you want to go to because, you know, you're like, dude.
You want to go to conferences.
Right. So go find yourself some conferences. This looks cool. And it's a nice website. Nicely done site. All right. So this next one is the new Redis website. You remember Redis had the big
logo
conference a while back, right? And Salvatore spent quite a while rebuilding a lot of stuff on the site, getting some better documentation
I freaking wish they'd do that for Mongo Mapper. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, this is really nice because now if you go through the documentation in Redis and you go look at all the commands, down at the bottom of all the commands, there is an interactive shell window where you can test out the commands yourself. To learn how to use something, which is really cool. It makes learning Redis a lot easier. Not that Redis is hard to use. Redis is about the most idiot-proof thing I have seen in a long time. Well, that's great, though. I mean, you don't want something that's hard. You want something that's easy.
That's not what she said.
Right? All right. You know what? I want to come back to this one. So let's move on.
We're going back to the future.
This one may have some... So this next one, it's another STRF time reference because we keep using this one's for Python though. So if you use Python and you hate having to look up STRF time,
I hate hearing about STRF time now.
This is the thing to do. But no, this is cool. This is handy. I like this. And you should too. You apparently also could just do man STRF time in the terminal. And get the exact same information. Yeah, it's all right there because Python just uses the Unix strf time. Why doesn't Ruby do that?
What's a PBD? PDB.
PDB. This is something that is awesome, and all of you Python people will know about this. This is actually something I don't know if I should mention yet or not. Anyway, though, PDB++ is a replacement for PDB. And so PDB is the Python debugger. Okay. Basically, any in your code, you can import PDB and tell it to set a trace, and then when your program reaches that point of execution, it pauses. You go to your terminal, and you can do whatever the hell you want.
You can do that in Ruby.
So, yeah, you can do it in Ruby. You can do it in JavaScript. You know, you can do it several different places. Well, you can sort of do it in JavaScript.
You can do it in the bathtub.
You can have like a... You can do it in the bathtub. You can't do it in PHP, as far as I know.
Maybe.
There's so many easy
jokes. Well, Kyle's got to write it in Magnus.
Yeah, maybe he does. But no, this is kind of cool. This is PDB, which has, like, tab completion inside of it, syntax highlighting, a sticky mode, some new commands, smart command parsing, and other useful things. But it's pretty damn new. Doesn't play very well with Django, so, you know, user beware, right?
For sticky mode, right? They just send you a bunch of melted chocolate.
That would be kind of funny. A little bit. Curator! Curator is from the people that made Dashnote, which is a Mac OS X dashboard widget for Simple Note. And what Curator is a way to create presentations of your designs so that you can send them on in to your clients. It creates a PDF of your presentation.
I really wish they had a
sample one. And emails that to you, sends it off to a client, whatever. You can click see how it works, and they kind of give you a little workflow. You like name your project, you add your designs, choose the layout, pay $3, and download.
They
the
really
PDF.
Should have a sample one on this page to download.
They should. I don't know why they don't have a sample one, but you know, whatever. Doesn't really matter.
I guess it's a decent idea.
It's $3. It's a cool idea. So like you can put in the project name, subtitle, contact info, email address, and your company logo if you have one, or I suppose you could put in like the client's logo or whatever. So yeah, it looks like a handy thing to have, especially if you're like too damn lazy to go make your own PDFs.
Everyone.
Which is, you know, fairly common, yeah. We like to highlight the little guy on this show, you know. We like to be like, look at this little dude over here doing something cool. So our next site here is from Nike.
My favorite interview question?
No, we're going to come back to that at the end, because I think that's going to have a decent amount of conversation.
Site. Well, let me take it back. I like this site, but it's so full of bullshit.
Oh, yeah. No. There's nothing... No, there's... I don't think anyone thinks this site is actually, like, honest. The only reason I put this site in here is for the absolute... Big-ass backgrounds. The absolute beautiful vertical parallax effect that it has. It's just genius the way they did that. So go look at it. And, you know, enjoy... But don't believe it.
Remember, if you're looking at it, they do map to your left and right arrow keys, which gives you the smoothest way to go through it.
But it doesn't map to the J and K keys, which is retarded.
Things.
Well, because technically you're moving up and down. You're not moving left
the first
and right.
Thing I did.
Why would you ever think to
I
click
just tried
left
up
and
down,
right?
And I was like, all right, let me try left and right.
Whatever. Okay, you put in these last two before we go back to the last one I put in. What are these?
Okay, so the first one...
Wait, I put something
The first
in?
One is actually from a Forest member. Yeah.
Is
What's
it?
What's his name?
Looks like this is from
Winston
Wolf.
That's his name on Forest also. And this is just really cool. It's taking... making a clickable map using CSS in jQuery, and it's pretty as hell. Like... And they
it
got,
is
you know,
beautiful.
The different areas and how it's all laid out, and you just have a PSD source where you know where you can edit your boundaries and all that type of stuff. And it has tool tips and a preloader and everything. I want somebody to take this and end up making a online version of Risk.
Online version of Risk, that would be cool. This would also be cool if you had like you know a map of Forest users or something.
So,
I'd go for it.
I think this is.
You know, you
this
know
is really
you
cool,
want.
And he talks about there's some other information about like how to create your own for other layouts and stuff. Somebody should do Middle Earth. Yeah,
Middle Earth. That would be funny. You know, this next one,
this
I looked
crazy.
This day, and I was gonna put it in, and then I didn't because
dude,
it
this is
sucks.
Crazy.
Dude, like 3/4 of them. Are
I know,
not
but
implemented.
Even a part that's implemented is. Cool.
Even the clock one's not implemented. How the hell do you not have
well,
the
clock power
button's
implemented. Yes.
The power button?
You can put it to sleep.
That's retarded.
I like
it. No, this is... It's a cool
Maps
idea.
Works.
But...
That's because it's just an iframe.
Safari works. Again, an iframe.
I think...
Mail doesn't work. He couldn't even fake mail.
It's a work in progress.
It just doesn't work. I don't care.
But I mean, even just the fact that, you know, you've got the scrolling side to side and the slide to unlock and, like, it does do the type of, you know, animation when you open up a new thing on the thing. Can you add stuff to the dock? And you can add, you can remove and add stuff from the dock, dude. How cool is that? You can click and hold, and it goes into Jell-O mode, and then you can drag stuff around, reorder, put stuff on the dock.
It, no, it's stupid. I'm sorry. Dude just needs to not suck.
I liked it.
All right, well, you would. No, it's a cool experience.
And you notice if
it
you
is.
Leave the page
it honestly
open,
is a neat
the battery percentage slowly goes down. No, but
does
I,
it?
I just thought of that. That'd be cool. the time is
yeah,
right, though.
Sure.
The time is correct.
Oh, I just realized I have to flag somebody that I admire on Forest for posting something
Are you
I already posted.
Chris Boyer?
No,
somebody
I'm
banned
Steve Walsh.
Or not banned me. Somebody blocked me today.
Blocked you? Like,
no, like on Forest. Somebody apparently did not want to hear what I had to say, and they blocked me from their feed. Which took away some of my reputation. I'm not happy. I packed on, like.
I would think moderators.
That's what I fucking thought.
I think that needs to be fixed.
That needs to be fixed so I can know who it is. So I can.
I'll talk to Zach later about it. Zach listens to me when I tell him what to decode.
He doesn't listen to me or
okay, so,
Kyle. Kenneth is actually
it's just me.
The site behind him. He's the Illuminati.
I was telling him it'd be really funny if we did, like, on April Fools. We have one random person that signs up, like, on April 1st gets to be made, or March 31st, gets to be made, leader of Forest. For
like
April Fool's Day.
Before
we just tell them that.
The park close after a certain time.
That would be funny too, yeah. The park closes after dark. And on holidays. Okay, so this is from Reaganwald, which is Reg Braithwaite.
Well, before you start this, how do you feel about Monopoly? Because it's important. I am a huge
Monopoly
fan. We get together and we have games of Monopoly where we gamble. Like, everybody puts in 10 bucks or whatever. Like, we play Monopoly hardcore over here.
I remember playing Monopoly with a friend of mine when we were kids, and we would play for, like, 3 days straight without winning. Like, the game would take, like, that long.
People complain about Monopoly
fun.
Being too long. They're playing it under the right circumstances. Because with six good friends, a few drinks, and food, Monopoly can go for 4 hours, and you shouldn't care.
Yeah. It's like Risk, you know. If you play it right,
I'm playing the hell out
fun.
Of Risk on my iPad because the new Hasbro version just came
if
out.
If you play Risk with shitty people or Monopoly with
people
shitty people, it's not fun. It's like Scrabble. You know, if the dude pulls out a dictionary, just punch him in the face and don't play. Right? Scrabble,
that,
the dictionary
is that not illegal
is
anyway? Thing.
What? No. Like, to look up words. Because, like, you know, if you're like, oh, that's not a real word, and then you look up in the dictionary. No, fuck that. If everybody around the table votes that it's a real
TARDIS.
Word, it's a real word. That's the way TARDIS is a word. Well, actually, it's an acronym, but whatever. Okay, so from Reaganwald.com. This is actually from,
I love
how it
links to
now,
Monopoly and Wiki in case you didn't know what Monopoly was.
Right. There's, you know, somebody from Nairobi or something reading this that doesn't know what Monopoly is. He says this is, like, his favorite interview question, and I'm guessing it's apparently he got it. He got the question, but he likes to give it as well. And the question is, how would you design a program that lets people play Monopoly with each other over the internet?
Right.
Okay, so, Mike.
Yes?
How would you design a program that lets people play Monopoly with each other over the internet?
So how... You know, I would use this program here, and I would, you know, it'd be object-oriented and blah, 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 or what?
Well, and that's one of the things he talks about, is that, like, OO is a great idea, but it doesn't necessarily fit for Monopoly, because Monopoly doesn't have a whole lot of objects.
Well, you've got your...
It does, but a lot of it's also functional programming, dealing with what happens when this,
right.
You know. And, but that's the thing, that's why he says it's a great question, is because... Somebody can start off, like, really, really simple, and then you can keep asking them questions about what they're doing, and it becomes more and more complex, and it's a great way of exploring.
It becomes more and more, now I'm just thinking of the Louis C.K. talking to his daughter and just continually asking more questions until he doesn't know who he is anymore. Why?
Right. But I mean, even little things like you've got the we're gonna get back on topic here, like chance and community chest, right? So you've got all those cards, and they have to get a random one, but they have to get one that hasn't been drawn already. So you have to keep two stacks, and you have to pop things off the stack so that, you know, they don't get the same question again. And it's just, you know, even something as simple as that.
Well, I think you're thinking about it the wrong way, though. This is a this is not a physical world game, so you don't need to have two stacks. You just have the pool of them and have it pick randomly.
Right, but you have to ensure that they don't get the same one twice. At least not until all the others have been gone through, because that's how
I suppose
those work. So it has to be a list that like gets reordered or something. And then like somebody goes to jail, right? So if they're in jail, you have to keep track of how many rounds they've been in jail, and then each round that they're in jail, they have to roll, and if they get doubles, then they get out of jail. You know, that whole thing. So you've got it. There's a lot of little things
We should create some text. Only Monopoly games in our respective languages and see how it shows up.
We could try.
I'm using COBOL.
Or we could just say fuck it and kind of go on.
Too.
Yeah. I'm for the fuck it. How about you?
Because I've been thinking up.
We are doing an app contest
at some point. Yes, it is true. And I've been thinking up things. I think the theme should be you have to make a board game.
I think that could be fun. It doesn't necessarily have to be a visual board game, but some sort of game that makes sense to play over the internet with other people, has decently well-defined rules, has a winner, has turns, things like that.
But at the same time, I would like to have people work on...
Or it could just be make a game.
Just make a game.
Because then you could have adventure games, you could have turn-based games, you could have strategy games, you could have board games.
That would be a subcategory, because in the end, I still want people to be able to make something that they might want to market and sell later on. So, not just something that they had to make just to do the contest. Anyway,
right.
That's more information on that way later. Like, this is not going to be happening within the next few months.
Yeah, like, you can just ignore anything that Mike says right now.
Or at any point in time. Never quote me for anything. Just because you fuckers on the IRC want to have that quote from Kyle about the API, never quote me on anything. It's all lies anyway.
Well, you know. Okay, I think that's the end of the show.
Don't forget
the
Facto.
We should wrap this up. Get done with this. Go to Facto. Tell Zeldman how creepy he is.
You can find us on Facto.
You can find us on Facto. Facto.com/ForcedPodcast. Twitter.com/ForcedPodcast. ForcedPodcast.com and podcast at
also rate us on iTunes. We need new ratings. We haven't had any ratings in 20 days.
We do. We need a lot more ratings and reviews on iTunes. We're slipping off the charts, and if we slip off the charts, we just won't do the show anymore. The show's being held hostage for ratings and reviews.
Ratings
and reviews. Rapings and pillages.
All right. So long. And thanks for all the fish.